they joined Christy, Ryan, and Gloria. While the tribe was content to wait for their queen to inform them of what was happening, the companions were more anxious. Christy and Gloria filled them in on what had been discovered and discussed.
I wonder, could it really be so, after all?
Could what be so, Doc?
Doc looked at her as though she'd completely missed the plot, even though it was a story that had been running only in his own head for some time now.
My dear Dr. Wyeth, why, surely it is obvious.
Not to me, you crazy old coot. So come down off that damn cloud of yours and fill me in.
I merely surmise that this could be the place for which we seek, and the place that I dredged from the recesses of my poor, addled memory, which, I may add, I do know to be not the most reliable of sources. No, my dear madam, I do indeed wonder if this is the shadow capital of which I heard talk, and which seems so well to fit in with the legends of our dear friend the Queen.
If that's the case, old man, then we're going to have to be right there for the illuminated ones, because we know they're still around.
That's why I want us all together. I don't want to lose Outriders just because they're alone. Safety in numbers now.
By this time, all the Outriders had responded to the signal and were back with the tribe. Gloria gathered them together and filled them in on what was known and what was surmised. There was a buzz of excitement that passed through the tribe at the thought that they may be the generation to attain that for which they'd spent so long searching. Gloria held up both hands.
Wait! If we are to be the chosen ones who reach the promised places, then we must do it properly. I want none of us to lose our chances to be there because of the slackness of others. We are all together. We are all one. Remember that, and remember well. Okay, we've got half a mile to the plain. We need vigilance. Let's go, and keep it sweet, my people.
On Triple Red, everybody made their way through the last stages of jungle growth. As they neared the beginning of the plain, it became apparent that the vast expanse of grassland was basically a disguised passive defense. Although it seemed innocent, it was wide enough to make circling it and staying in the cover of the forest growth a tedious and drawn-out task. The easiest route forward was to move across the plain, and although it was large enough to make the journey safe because any attack could be seen from some distance, it also made any party moving across that plain equally visible.
This is not ideal.
No, but it's the best option. As long as we stay together and stay on red. And I'll tell you something else, honey. This is no natural plain.
How can you tell, Gloria?
Two things. First, the way the grassland ends suddenly at the edges of the plain. Even the most squared of natural plains has little hollows and indentations into the trees. This hasn't.
Christy followed the Gate Queen's sharp, penetrating blue eyes as they surveyed the outer edges of the plain. It was true. The plain was sharply defined at all sides, rather than bleeding naturally into the woodlands.
Second, look at the grass. No way is that natural, babe. This is regularly fired and burned to keep it to stubble. That doesn't happen by accident. Not regularly, right?
So we could be being watched, right, Glow? That's really good to know.
Shut it, Marge. Maybe we can be seen, but we can also see.
Always better to avoid trouble. I thought you'd know that, even if others don't. Right, Jack?
Gloria, who'd spent some time and effort since the fight between her sister and Mildred, keeping them apart, looked at Jack, whose eyes met hers with the message that Margia couldn't rattle him. The Queen accepted this and was about to ask her sister why she'd strayed to the column's front rather than stay back with the armory wags.
On the edge, right hand, just to the rear. Don't know what, but there's a lot of it.
Ryan spun at the same moment as the Warrior Queen, and could see that there was movement on the edge of the plain.
Not just there, over to the left, too.
J.B. pulled binoculars from his canvas bag and focused them.
Dark night. What the fuck are they?
J.B., quick, binoculars.
Here you go, Ryan.
Fire blast. I don't believe it. More of the fuckers, but worse than before.
More of what fuckers?
Stickies. More muty than before.
Ryan handed Mildred the binoculars, and the woman looked through them. To her, it appeared that the masked group had been in some ways surgically or genetically altered, like the ones they had encountered on their first meeting with the gate. The shapes of the Sticky's head seemed bulbous on some, and others had a stronger musculature than the average mutant.
Well?
Like the others, maybe even more so.
That would make sense. Let the first ones go as a field experiment, then keep the new batch closer to home, easier to observe, and to act as guard dogs.
Well, Gloria, at least this gives us time to prepare our defenses.
My show, then.
Your people.
Right.
On cue, the tribe's men formed the wags into a circle, protecting the armory, food stores, and the sacred papers and writings of the tribe. John and Pitor passed out rifles and machine blasters to the other men, while the women took formation around the wags. There was little cover that could be afforded them, but they had the advantage of blasters, while the Stickies, who were advancing at great speed from all sides, carried only sticks, sharpened flints, and stones. Glancing around at the advancing horde, Mildred noted that the mutants were also advancing from the area where the tribe had just emerged onto the plain, which suggested that they had the cunning of the previous Sticky horde, something added by surgery and genetic manipulation. Also, her side was vastly outnumbered.
Hold fire until they're in range! Every bullet must count!
The tension was acute as everybody stood firm, blasters ready, but holding back until the last moment to begin firing. They were fanned out in a circle, but kept it tight and close to the wags. Gloria stood upright beside Jack, who held his .357 Magnum Colt Python, his red eyes fixed on the approaching horde. Gloria had her Vortok raised, clasped easily but firmly in both hands, steadying herself for the jolt of the first shot. Despite the adrenaline-filled tension that coursed through her frame, she stood as easy as the albino at her side.
Ready, sweet?
Now.
On Gloria's signal, the gate and companions started to fire. JB chose his Uzi, set to short controlled bursts over his other blasters. Ryan used the Steyr, sighting carefully so as not to waste a single shell, but then he noticed something.
Shit. Problem, people. These fuckers are gonna be really hard to chill.
Why?
See through your sights. Unless you blow the fuckers' heads off, they don't wound easy. They don't fucking bleed.
Shit! Must be some kind of genetic work on the clotting agent.
My... this should be most entertaining.
Doc reloaded the Lama and attempted to sight yet another Sticky for a full load of shot, this time raising his aim for a headshot. A body blow might not stop him, but at least a Sticky with no head would find it impossible to keep moving. The old man fired the Lama. The charge cut one of the advancing mutants full in the face. It was about 20 yards away when the grape shot hit, and its features blurred and distorted beneath a mist of blood as the shot spread across the head, which vanished in a haze of blood, bone fragments, and shredded flesh. The Sticky stumbled in its run and fell to the ground, crumpling like an old sheet dropped from a moving wag.
Fare thee well, ye gruesome abomination.
But even in the time it took the satisfied Doc to reload the Lama, the advancing horde had gained ground. There were simply too many of them for a blaster such as his.
Curses. Hand-to-hand warfare it shall be.
He holstered the large percussion pistol and drew the sword stick from its silver lion's head cane. Around Doc, the rest of the gate warriors were realizing the same thing. The men behind were firing over their head with the machine blasters and rifles, standing on the wags to clear their own people, but the fact that as men they had little combat experience was all too evident in the few Stickies they could stop. The vast majority of discharged ammo caused some wounds to the advancing throng, but there were a few shots that hit home to chill. The rapidity with which the creatures stopped bleeding allowed them to keep coming, some of them on their knees or in loping, stumbling runs, where legs had been rendered useless by shots severing tendons or smashing bone. The lack of pain or blood meant that the injury didn't register in their mutated brains. The Amazons were discovering how hand blasters could be excellent close-fighting weapons, but relatively ineffective at longer distances. The lack of accuracy was telling now. As the things got closer, more of the women's shots were hitting fatally home, but the fact that the Stickies had been able to get so close in the first place meant that there were too many to chill with blasters alone. Mildred, Jack, Dean, and Christy also had that problem. The albino's .357 Magnum Colt Python was an exceptionally powerful hand blaster, but even he couldn't reload and fire quickly enough. Dean's Browning High Power, Mildred's ZKR, and Christy's .38 caliber Smith & Wesson were all good blasters and highly accurate, but couldn't cope with the sheer bulk of the enemy, especially an enemy that could only be stopped with a headshot. Ryan and JB were faring better. The armorer had pushed his Uzi to one side and hauled out the M4000, letting fly with several charges of the viciously barbed metal fillets that he used in his shot. The hot metal had spread over a relatively wide area, aimed at head height, and had taken out several Stickies in one shot. Ryan had reverted to his Sig Sauer, having realized that he needed to create a little more damage in the Mutie ranks than the Steyr would allow. The rifle was extremely accurate, and he had a good chill rate with it, but he felt compelled to try to make more of a dent in the opposition's vast numbers. Margia tried to wipe out a section of the horde with a grin. She pitched it into a large cluster of the Stickies. The explosive spread earth from the large gouge it created in the otherwise flat plain, taking out several stickies.
Yee-haw!
A few seconds later, though, the damn things started to drag themselves to their feet and continue, in the case of those whose legs were useless, just drag themselves onward.
God damn it!